Welcome to Restoration Church, located in Goleta, California. To learn more about us, please visit r-church.org. To watch our service or join us via live stream, check out our YouTube channel by searching Restoration Church Goleta.
All right, it's time for our scripture reading. That was a great time of worship and praise. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Lord. We praise the Lord for what he's doing here, for the work he's doing in our lives. Our scripture reading today in the Pew Bibles is on page 1018, and if you're a visitor here, you can take that Bible home with you. It's a gift, and if you're online, you can send us a message, and we'll get you a Bible if you need it. We're reading in 2 Peter 1, 5 through 11, and again, that's on page 1018. Verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to supplement your faith with virtue, and virtue with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with steadfastness, and steadfastness with godliness, and godliness with utter brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For whoever lacks these qualities is so nearsighted that he is blind, having forgotten that he was cleansed from his former sins. Therefore, brothers, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. For if you practice these qualities, you will never fall. For in this way, there will be richly, provided for you an entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord. So Randy is going to give us our message this morning. So come on up, Randy, and I'll pray for him. Lord, I just thank you for Brother Randy, Lord, and for his heart and for his willingness to serve you and to give us our message this morning. I pray that you would just speak your words through him, Lord, fill him with your spirit, and that you would just teach us what you want us to learn and help us to be receptive, Lord, to his teaching today, Lord. Lord, just confirm in our minds, Lord, how you want us to respond and how you want us to change our lives in response to this teaching. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Daniel. Good morning, everybody. Happy New Year. It's a real privilege today to be able to bring the Word of God. I'm going to be reading from New American Standard. That's the Bible that I usually use. We don't have any slides today. That was my bad. I didn't make any slides. So I'll be... Okay, good. So I'm going to be turning to a lot of scriptures, so please don't get distracted by that. So the passage we read in 2 Peter last week, Rick did the first four verses, and he called it Invest Wisely. And now I'm going to do verses 5 through 11, and I titled it, See What God Has Done. See What God Has Done. And the reason, it's kind of a twofold title, because I believe that this time next year, we're going to look back, and each one of us is going to be able to say, see what God has done. Going to be able to say it about your life individually, and also going to be able to say it about what God's done at Restoration Church in 2022. I think I believe that we're kind of at a turning point, and the next year the Lord's going to begin to move in ways that are going to be significant. And so I broke this passage down into, I called it See What God Has Done, and there's three things I want to talk about: the purpose, the path, and the choice. The purpose, the path, and the choice. The great thing about being a Christian is the fact that God loves us. God isn't making fun of us. He's not mocking us. But he loves us, and he has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. And part of that plan and purpose is in verse 11. It says this: "For in this way, the entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will be abundantly supplied to you." And what a great thing to know that God's intention and God's desire is for the eternal kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ to be abundantly supplied for us. I mean, what an incredible thing to think about that. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in John 14 said that he went to prepare a place for us, and he's making mansions for us. And then in Revelation 19, it says this about the bride of Christ. Revelation 19. Revelation 19, verse 7. The angels say, "Let us rejoice and be glad and give glory to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Christ has gone to prepare a place for us, and he's going to come again and receive us to himself. And in that day, it's going to be probably beyond our imagination what we're going to be entering into in light of that day. And it tells us here that the bride has made herself ready. And that's a little bit about what we're going to be talking about today is, how do we get ready? What are the things that we can do to ensure that we enter in to the purpose of God, which is that abundant entrance into his kingdom? You know, there's many parables about when the Lord gave talents. He gave one servant five talents, one three, one two. He says, go and do with the talents. And he came back later, and the one that had five made five more. And then the one that had one just brought back one. And you see in those parables that God is concerned about the way that we are living our lives. He's given each one of us so many resources and so many opportunities. And his desire is that we would go and we would use those things for his glory, like Dana said, to the glory of God, and so that we could enjoy God forever. Amen. And even today, you know, are we enjoying God today? Is the Christian life, to me personally, something that's enjoyable? Hopefully, as we go into this next year, and I'm able to communicate some things today that will help us to be able to live into that. So there's a purpose. God's purpose, at least partially, is that each one of us would abundantly enter in to the kingdom of God. And so it says in verse 8, "If these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ." And then in verse 10, "Therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain his calling and choosing of you, for as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble." Be all the more diligent. Give earnestness to your Christian life. Strive after it. For if these qualities are yours, and make certain, what that word "make certain" has to do with this is, do you have it at hand? Like, for example, the talents. When the guy came back, "Where's my talents?" The servant had the talents at hand. There's another parable about the virgins. When the bridegroom comes, there's virgins that have the oil at hand, and there's virgins that don't. There's certain virgins that have to go get the oil. This is talking about, have these things at hand. Have them available. Have them ready. And in that way, you'll be able to abundantly enter in to the kingdom of God. I like this, what it says here. Make certain his calling and choosing of you. Are you convinced of God's calling and choosing of you? Are you convinced that you're a child of God? Are you convinced that He's loved you with an everlasting love? There's a great passage in Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, where is it?
Old Testament.
Thank you. Isaiah 43, verse 1. But now, thus says the Lord, your creator, O Jacob, he who formed you, he who squeezed you into shape, he fashioned you, O Israel. Do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Are you convinced that that is God's relationship with you? He formed you. He redeemed you. He called you by name. You're His. In fact, He has your name written on the palm of His hand. What an incredible thing. Verse 2. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they will not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be scorched, nor will the flame burn you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Since you are precious in my sight, since you are valuable, since you are prized in my sight, since you are honored and I love you, I will give other men in your place and other peoples in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you. Be convinced of God's choosing and calling of you. Be convinced that He is on your side. Be convinced that the circumstances of your life are His plan and purpose to mold and make you into His perfect bride. So there's a purpose, but there's also a warning. And the warning is this, verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So there's a purpose and then there's a path. And the path, or it could be like a roadmap or the directions to doing this, are the verses 6 through 7. If those characteristics in 6 through 7 are yours and they're growing and they're at hand, then you can be confident that you are pursuing God in a proper way. If they're lacking or non-existent, then today is an opportunity for us to make some changes in our lives so that we can get back on the right track and begin to pursue God in the way He wants us to pursue Him. So let's look at the path. The path is this. Verse 5. Now for this reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence. And in your moral excellence, knowledge. And in your knowledge, self-control. And in your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, godliness. And in your godliness, brotherly kindness. And in your brotherly kindness, Christian love or love. It's interesting. The list starts with faith. And the list ends with love. How appropriate. I don't know. You see the divine providence of God. Hebrews tells us that without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's the key thing in our lives as we walk with the Lord Jesus is, what are we believing about God? As I've grown and walked with the Lord, there are many things that I can say that I have not understood that have happened in my life. But I've come to be convinced that everything is according to the divine providence of God. When I arrived this morning, the driveways were blocked, and there's guys working in front of the church. I'm going, this is interesting. But it's all according to the perfect divine providence of God. I mean, God's doing what God is doing, and he's doing it in the way he's doing it. And the reason that he's doing it that way is because for you personally, it's the best way for him to get what he desires in your life. So let's just take a moment and look at the list. And then the list ends in love, and Bobby shared love, I think, two weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 13. Love is patient. Love is kind. It is not arrogant. It does not boast. Does not take into account a wrong suffered. Think about that. Love does not take into account a wrong suffered. So let's just say, you know, something happened at the church that you didn't agree with. How do you respond to that? Are you gonna hold a grudge? Are you going to not come back until it's fixed? How do you respond to something like that? Christian love is, you accept it as from the Lord. This is what God is doing. That's what Christian love would do. So add, these things need to be adding, need to be getting bigger and bigger and bigger in our lives. In your faith, supply moral excellence. Add virtue, add goodness. And to your virtue and goodness, add knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And in your understanding and wisdom, self-control. Be able to control your desires and passions, your lusts, your wants. Can you control those? And in your self-control, perseverance. Be patient. God isn't done yet. I have a son that got saved when he was younger, but now has really nothing to do with God. And in fact, he has gone to counseling to deprogram his Christian teaching. And so people ask me, what about your son? I go, you know what? God's not done yet. Be patient. Who knows what God's going to do? God can do whatever God wants to do in his life. I believe that. So in your self-control, patience. In your patience, godliness. Grow. Become more and more like Jesus. Allow God to form himself in you. Learn his character. Learn his demeanors. Learn his interactions with others and behave that way. In your godliness, brotherly kindness. Love one another. Care for one another. And in your brotherly kindness, Christian love. There's a passage that I want to look at in light of this that to me is very challenging to me personally. Philippians chapter 2. Kind of goes along with what that was talking about. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. If therefore there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, let each of you regard one another as more important than himself. Wow. What an expression of Christ that would be when God gets this in our lives. When we come to gather together, when we fellowship with one another, and each one of us individually is in reality considering the others as more important than ourselves. What an expression of the life of Christ that would be. Verse 4, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think about this. Who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself taking the form of a slave. Jesus, because of his character, because of his love for humanity, for you and I, he was willing to give up the glories of heaven and become the slave of all men that he might win the few. I mean, what an example. And what a thing to strive for, to become the slave of all men. And think about it, in the Gospels, how many times do you read of Jesus saying, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And whatever they said, that's what he did. He didn't argue with them about it. He didn't try to convince them it wasn't the right thing to do. What do you want me to do? Whatever they told him, that's what he did. Look back at 2 Peter. So we see the purpose. The purpose is abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom of God. The roadmap or the path is having these qualities growing and growing and growing in our lives. And now we come to the choice. What choice? And basically there's two choices. One choice, I can do what I always do, and that's make a New Year's resolution and see how long it lasts. So one choice is doing it in the flesh. My strength, my will, my determination. I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to make a plan, and I'm going to follow the plan. And we've done that many times before, and we probably all are aware of how that works out. Look at Romans 7. Romans 7, verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold unto bondage into sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not wish to do, I agree with the law, confessing that it is good. So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the wishing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. I mean, I don't know. I think back on my life. How many times did I set up plans to do something for God? And how often they just fell short? And every time we do it, it's always the same thing. I have good intentions. Yes, this is what we should be doing. But depending on the flesh, you're never going to accomplish spiritual things in the power of the flesh. It's never, 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 never going to work. If you're trying to do it in the flesh, it is never going to work. But that's one of the choices we have. And that's the choice we always go to first. There's another choice, though, and this is the choice I would recommend personally. Don't do it in the flesh. Let God do it. The other choice is just let God do it. Look what it says in verse 2 of this chapter. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called you by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, in order that by them you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lusts. In those passages, how much work did you do? What did you do? You did nothing. Jesus Christ has already, in his divine power, given us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him. He's already done it all. He's already worked it out so that these things will grow and increase in our lives. He's done all the work. He's made all the provision. He's done everything. And this year, you know what Jesus wants? All Jesus wants this year is to be your friend. All Jesus wants is for you. I didn't mean to get emotional about this. All Jesus wants is for you to be his friend, to walk with him, to communicate with him. When you have a problem, tell him what your problem is. When you're struggling, tell him what you're struggling about. Let him deal with it. Let him show you his ability. Let him bring you through things. Let him do it. He's already provided everything. Look at Galatians 2:20. If as an individual, I can come to the place in my life where I am striving to do this, then God's going to be able to do a great work in my life. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith. I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and delivered himself up for me. So Paul's saying, you know what? I'm living my life, but it's no longer me. Christ is in me. Christ is living my life. The things I struggle with, I've given to Christ. The things I'm good at, I've given to Christ. The things that, whatever, my life is now Christ's. And to the extent that we can do that, this next year, we're going to see God move in our lives individually in ways we've never imagined. And it's not going to be us. It's going to be Christ doing it. Try to do it in the flesh, and it's going to be miserable. Let God do it, and you're going to be amazed at what happens. I'm going to give an example. We tend to beat ourselves up about things. So here's my example. 2 days before Man Camp, my wife says, Randy, we need to have more family devotions. We never had family devotions. Well, we didn't. When the kids were growing up, we used to have family devotions, but since all the kids left, we didn't do it anymore. So it'd probably been about 4 or 5 years. We never had a family devotion. I go, okay, that's nice, dear. So then I went away to Man Camp, and one of the main things they talked about was family devotions. I go, okay. So I got home. I go, okay, we're going to start doing family devotions. We're going to have family devotions every night. So Man Camp was October 8th, and it's now January, so it's been about 90 days, right? So how many days out of those 90 do you think we've had family devotions?
None.
None?
Come on.
Most of
them.
No. 23. So 23 out of 90. I mean, Randy, man, how miserable. What kind of commitment was that? Are you kidding me? 23 out of 90? Well, so this is the example of how to give this to the Lord. So I just pray, Lord, this is your burden. You're the one who told us to do this. If you want us, but one other thing before I get into this. But the great thing is, 3 years before October 8th, we had no family devotions. In 90 days after October 8th, we've had 23 devotions. So at least something's happening. So, Lord, this is your burden. You're the one who has directed us to do this as a family. If you want us to do it more, then you enable us to do it more. If what we're doing is fine, then just allow us to keep doing what we're doing. See, it's no longer my burden. I don't have to do it anymore. I give it to God. If God wants me to have devotions more than 23 times in the next 3 months, then he's going to bring it to mind. He's going to set up the situation. He's going to make sure it happens. It's his now. My wife the other day, So one of the mottos or one of the slogans, or I'm not sure, what the proper word is, but for Restoration Church is we're a family to find and disciple people, to find people and to bring them closer to Christ or disciple them. So my wife goes to me, and hopefully, I don't know if she's watching, but we'll see what happens. My wife goes, you know, God isn't doing anything in my life. I go, what do you mean? She goes, Bobby's always saying you need to go out and make disciples and disciple people. I'm not doing that. What am I doing? And I'm going, whoa, 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 whoa. So I go, Jenny, and this is something we need to learn. God's not going to ask you to do something that's impossible for you to do. She doesn't have the strength to go out and start witnessing to people. So we're in situations. God puts us in situations for us to grow. So I said, Jenny, listen. You have no idea how many people you're touching. How many? She has in her bedroom, she has a whiteboard like this, and it's full of sticky notes, and every sticky note is a prayer. And I bet you a lot of you are on that board. But anyway, so before she goes to bed at night, she stands in front of the board and she prays. I go, how many people do you pray for? Do you mean to tell me that your prayers aren't affecting those people? God isn't moving because you're praying? I go, how many letters of encouragement have you written to people? You mean that those letters of encouragement aren't changing people's lives? I go, you've probably reached more people from what you're doing here in the house in the last year than I have with all that I've done with whatever. Just because she's so diligent. She prays all the time and she writes the letters. And the thing to remember is God has us in situations and seasons for his reason and for his glory. And that, whatever situation and season you're in, allow God to do his will in that situation and season. And then you'll see how he's accomplished it. There's a verse in, let me see if I can find it, in Acts 9. A great example of this in Acts 9. Verse 36, now in Joppa, there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she did continually. And it came about at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they washed her body, they laid it in the upper room. And since Lydia was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard Peter was there, sent two men to him, entreating him, do not delay and come to us. And Peter arose and went with them. And when he had come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him weeping, showing him all the tunics and garments that Tabitha used to make while she was with them. And it ends up that Peter prays for her and she comes back to life. But what is this woman's contribution to the work of God? Making tunics and garments. It wasn't witnessing, it wasn't praying, it wasn't doing all this other stuff. All she did was what the Lord put at her hand to do, make tunics and garments. And think about all the millions of Christians in history, and this woman, what she did is recorded in Scripture as a testimony for us. Dear friend, all Jesus wants you to do this year is to be his friend. Learn in the moments of your days. Just give it to the Lord. Ask the Lord, do you want me to read the Bible more? How much do you want me to read the Bible? Whatever he tells you, then try to do it. And maybe you'll do it. Maybe you won't. If you don't do it, ask him if he wants you to do it more. Allow him to change you and mold you to do what he wants you to do. Does he want you? In light of prayer, in light of reading the Bible, in light of discipling, all these things, don't try to do it in the flesh. Seek the Lord. Let him do it. In my life, I'm learning the way that I've applied this, and this is just me personally. I spend a lot of time now, even at work. At work, I just pray, Lord, give me joy. Help me just to love the people I work with. Help me just to do good to them. When I have a problem at work that I don't understand, Lord, you know how to answer this problem. I don't know what the answer is. Give me wisdom. Give me direction. When I drive downtown to go shopping, Lord, give me a parking spot. I mean, just learning to commit everything to the Lord. So that I'm finding that more and more of my day is now spent talking to God, and less of my day is spent in my mind complaining or worrying about things. And that's a positive thing. Begin to fill up your time, fill up your efforts with communication with God. So there's a purpose. Abundant entrance into the eternal kingdom. There's a path. If these things are in you and increasing, you know what? You're set. You're good to go. And then there's a way of doing that. And the way to do that is let God do it. Don't do it yourself. Just walk with Jesus. Commit your way to him. Seek him. Allow him to direct you. Allow him to increase. Allow him to get the growth in your life. There's one other thing I'd like to say in light of 2022 at Restoration Church. I believe that the Lord, like I said at the beginning, has us at a kind of a turning point maybe. But I believe God wants to begin to break forth at Restoration Church. And so I'm just going to read, this is Acts 2. And this is when the church first started. Okay? So they were preaching, and a lot of people heard the word that day. And in verse 41, Acts 2:41, so then those who had received the word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. And they continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. So when these individuals got saved, they committed themselves to certain things. And I think that these things are really, really important for the growth of a church. And to see, actually, it really, to me, it determines the maturity of a church. So the things were teaching, they studied the word of God together, fellowship, they fellowshiped together, they worshiped together like we're going to do in a minute, and they also prayed together. And so one thing I'm praying about is to have a meeting, a prayer meeting for this church, where at least half of us are committed to being there. I mean, right now we have a prayer meeting on Friday morning where there's a few of us that come and pray. I can count the people that pray on one hand, so it is a few of us. So this is how I would challenge you. Just think about this. And if you don't want to do it, that's fine. If you do want to do it, that's fine also. Pray about whether or not God wants you to be part of a corporate prayer meeting. And then pray what time is the best time to have that prayer meeting. And I would encourage you not to talk to anybody else, just do it yourself. I mean, if you want to, you can, but it's gonna be more impressive if you don't. So just if everybody just prays, if you're committed to praying with God's people, pray, Lord, what would be a good time to do that? And then write down the day and the time that you think would be a good time for the prayer meeting and give it to Dana or give it to Bobby or Rick or somebody. And I think that we'll find that God will give us a time where most of us can pray. So just think about that. And if you want to do that, I would encourage you to do that, because I think prayer is a real way for God to begin to move in our midst. So the band can come up now. I'm pretty much done. The purpose, abundant entrance, the path, these things increasing, and the choice, just be Jesus' friend. Be his friend. So as the band comes forth, we are going to have the Lord's Supper. Well, let me just pray for, I'll pray for us, and then I'll pray for the Lord's Supper at the same time. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we just do thank you for the word of God. Thank you that the word of God is powerful. Thank you, Lord, that it's able to change lives. And Lord, I just pray for your dear servants here in this room here this morning, that we would be your friend in 2022. We learned to talk to you more. We learned to commit our ways to you more. We learned to acknowledge you, Lord, and allow you to do your perfect will in our lives. Teach us, Lord, to lay aside the deeds of the flesh, to not strive and not try to do it ourselves, but just allow the Holy Spirit and the work of the Spirit to guide us and direct us, Lord. And Father, we do just thank you, Lord, that you're able for these things, and we praise you in your Son's name. Amen.
Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions or need prayers, send us an email at info@r-church.org. Grace and peace.